Mizmar Nun on page 444. So we learned yesterday the first pasuk, Mizmar Liyosaf Kel Lukim Hashem. We spent the whole day on this. Who wrote the Mizmar? Asaf. The Mizmar was composed in reference to Yom HaDin HaGadol. Okay, everybody, so we spend a whole day on this. Our blazer, good morning. Okay, Kel Elokim Hashem, Diber Hashem, Hashem has spoken. Vayikra Oretz, he has called to the earth. Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mivaoi, Hashem has spoken to the earth, and he has called out from one end. Hashem is calling. This, according to the Pshut Shel Mikra, this means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking. Hashem is sending out a message, a signal to this world, and every from the beginning of the earth to the end of the earth. We are describing the earth. Okay, we are describing the earth with the term Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mivao, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. In other words, there are no Hashem has coverage. Hashem's service covers the entire world. Like if you go AT&T, there are certain spots there's no coverage. Okay, Verizon, whatever you have, Sprint, not every service provider is able to cover the entire country. There's certain spots. There's a term.
Dead spots.
That's what they're called. Dead spots. There are certain dead spots. Hashem's signal covers the entire world. There is no moment when there is no reception. Hashem calls out. Divayikra Oretz, Hashem calls out to the earth, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mivoyoi. Okay, it goes from end to end. Okay, Mark, please. Mitzion Michlal Yoifi. Okay, now what is Hashem saying? Hashem is saying the following. Tzion, okay, please. Tzion is the Michlal Yoifi. Tzion is the perfection of beauty, Elokim Hoifia, and it is from that location of Tzion. It is from the location of Tzion that is the perfection, the totality, the culmination, all the different types of words you can use. The word Michlal comes from Koil, Choflam, and Choflam means everything. Okay, by the way, there are two different Kols. There's a Chol, Choflam with a Cholam, Chol, and there's a Choflam with a Komatz, Chol. Someone once complained to me that I lane, Leine Chol Yisrael. So he claims I didn't say it right. I didn't pronounce it right because it says Leine Chol Yisrael. It's with a cholam, chol, and I said it with a komatz, chol. Can you tell the difference? Or I guess when you lane, do you differentiate between chol and chol? There is a chol with a cholam, and there is a chol with a komatz, and they mean different things. They mean. I'm even not sure what they mean, what the difference is, but it's not exactly. A medactic will tell you that
it's like SNAs.
No, it's more than that. Yeah. I think it's more than that. SNAs, also there's a difference in SNAs. We don't differentiate so much, and you don't correct about Kriya if you make.
I've been in a shtibble for 8 years, and the guy told me, the Rebbe told me, I should say Koil. I started to say Koil.
Koil, when it's a komatz, sometimes it's called with a komatz. Sometimes it's called with a cholam. A cholam. Okay, so if a cholam, some people in the yeshiva world, they pronounce a cholam choy. So it's chol Yisrael. But if it has a komatz, then it's kol. There's no room to wear. It's kol. There's no yud. If you have, you pronounce it with a komatz.
Except if you're the Baba, you say with an O, it's kale.
Kale.
Okay.
I had one grandfather who said kale.
That's just a cholam.
With cholam, it's kale.
Right. Okay. But and with the komatz,
right.
And with the komatz, it's kol. All right. Any of that. The word michlal. Okay. Okay. Mark.
No, exactly. I think my grandfather spoke like that.
Probably did.
In the morning, like you said,
shalom.
Alongi.
Shelo yasani gay. It's a chassidish havara. It's a certain. It's a European. I think Rav Moshe spoke like that. I think didn't Rav Moshe talk like that?
Yes.
Rav Moshe, right. This is Rav Yachav Kamenetsky.
Yeah,
no,
that's a
Greenberg. Yes, like that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a okay. It's a certain. Okay. Okay. You know, I always find it very funny. It's interesting. You know, talk to men. So there's certain men they talk. When you talk to a woman who talks a chassid. Yesterday I went to a bar mitzvah, and the mother of the chassan speaks a fluent, very. Very, very fluent English, very, very, very put together, very well spoken. And then every time she says a word in Hebrew, she says she has a Hasidic background. So she says it with this, the Hasidic Havara. So I find it very funny. Like she speaks such a fluent, modern, professional English, but when she mixes in Hebrew words, she says it with a real heavy Hasidic accent. And it's, it's just the combination, and this is from a woman. I'm not used to hearing, women darshan and talk like this, and the combination is very interesting. In any event, let's go further. I know now there's a person that listens and is going to ask me, who are you referring to? Okay, let's continue. Okay, let's continue. It says over here, mitzia in the word. Why am I telling you all this? Because it says over here the word michlal yoifi. What is michlal yoifi? Michlal comes from the word koil.
What page
do you have? Page 446. Mitzion is michlal yoifi. The word michlal, the root of the word michlal is chof lamed. And chof lamed means, it means everything, all. All. Yeah.
Yesterday I had suggested that it meant perfection.
Correct. What is perfection?
Because the definition you just gave, you could call it the ultimate the ultimate in beauty. The ultimate in beauty.
So what is the ultimate? What is perfection?
You said call, meaning what?
Everything.
So the ultimate.
Right, exactly. That's what, because it's more than just cold. It's cold on steroids. It's an intensity of the word cold. The lamed is repeated to connote intensity. The michlal yoifi elokim hoifia. Very good. It's completely consumed. Nothing is given to the kohanim. Every part of the animal is consumed, even the bones. Only thing is the hides. It's interesting. The hide is still not. Is not part of. It's still not. Kolil Hashem, completely consumed to Hashem. Even though we're not giving every little brit, you're leaving over the hide. So how could you say the word a kolil when it does not include the skin, the hide? No, you say there's a general rule. Whenever it says. It says kol. I think it really means meloich al kol ha'olam kuloi. Why do you have to repeat kuloi? Meloich rule al kol ha'olam kuloi. If you already said the word kol, why do you have to say the word kuloi? If you want to say kuloi, so meloich al ha'olam kuloi, why is there repetition? So the Mefarshim answer, because when it said generally, when it says the word koil, it does not necessarily mean 100%. It means the majority. It means most. So if we were just to say Meloich al kol ha'olam, that would mean most of the world, 95% of the world. Then they have to say no. When we say Meloich al kol ha'olam, we don't mean 95 kuloi. 100%. There needs to be a repetition of the word kol to indicate it's 100%. Here, when you have the word michlal, it's doing that in and of itself. You don't need to add another word because it's not the word kol, it's not the word kuloi, it's an unusual word, it's michlal, there's a double lamed, and the double lamed automatically accomplishes what we need to accomplish by repeating the word twice. So mitzion, michlal yoifi, so this simply means that the words michlal yoifi is defining tzion. it's an adjective. Tzion is the noun, and let us describe this noun. The description of the noun is, it's the michlal yoifi. It is the ultimate mokoim of beauty. And in this location, Elohim, Hashem, Hoifia, appears. Hashem, Hoifia appears. Now let's read a few psukim. Yovei Elokeinu, now are we switching now? Yovei Elokeinu, it seems now that we are switching from Hashem being the speaker to us being the speaker. Me, Omer El Me. The Mizmah begins with Hashem speaking. That's how we learned yesterday. We spent a lot of time this yesterday. These are three Shemes of Hashem. Kel, Elokim Hashem, Diber. Hashem is the speaker. He is speaking. Who is he speaking to? Vayikra Aretz. He's speaking to the earth. And his message goes, Mi Mizrach Shemesh An Mivo, from the rising of the sun from one end of the earth to the other. And what does Hashem say? Hashem says, I'm not even sure what I'm saying makes sense. We have to go back. But certainly, so who's the speaker in the Pasuk Mem Beis? It would seem it would be Hashem. Hashem is speaking about himself. Hashem is speaking about himself and is saying that from Tzion, in the place of Tzion, which is the ultimate beautiful place, I, Hashem, will appear. And then it says, Yovei Elokeinu, this seemingly is a change in speaker. We, the human being, are now speaking. We are making a request. May it be that Yovei Elokeinu, may Hashem arrive, V'al Yecharash, and may he not be silent. Eish l'fonav toichel, there is fire before him that is consuming. Usvivav, this is a famous pasuk. Usvivav, and those that are in his vicinity, nis aro me'oid, are terrified. Like asad, there are different translations. We'll see mefarshim. I think most of us right away think of the word aseor, a hear, and we immediately think about the drush, and that is that Hashem is medaktik im sevivav kichut hasa'ara, but that's not the pshuto shel mikra. The pshuto shel mikra is over here refers to a storm, like a samach. A samach is a storm.
Sa'ar.
And over here, for whatever the reason we are going, we're spelling with a sin instead of a samach, and it means that there's a very violent storm surrounding Hashem. There is that's just the description of the Almighty, the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In his immediate surroundings, there is you can't get near it because it's like a storm. Yikro el Hashamayim Me'ol. Hashem calls to the heavens from above, via La'aretz, and to the earth below, Lodin Amo, to judge his nation. Okay, so we're just going to do these psukim today. Let's try to take a look over here where we do these psukim. There's a lot going on over here. Let's first see the Mitzudah Stavit to get a handle on these psukim. Mitzudah Stavit Pasik Beis, Hoifia. Heir Vihoitzi Yesako. Hoifia means, I translate it to appear. Maybe I don't know why that was in my mind.
I
guess it's an English translation, but it's not really what the Mitzvah stuff it says. According to the stuff, look at the Mitzvah Tzion. Hoifia heir vizorach. He learns the word hoifia has something to do with light. Light and or. An or. Doesn't just mean to appear like peekaboo. Peekaboo is here I am. I was hiding behind the wall and now I reveal myself. That's how I translated it. I got that from somewhere else, obviously. I mean, that's the way they translate it in English. But it's not what the Mitzudas David says. He says the word heir comes from the word, I don't know what the etymology is, heir, to give light.
To rise and shine, give God the Shem Yukur.
It makes, because if you look at the beginning of the Mizmar, it says, Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mivo. Maybe it's going back on the beginning of the Mizmar. We talk about when the sun is shining from the sun, the rising of the sun. So we're borrowing that idea as a metaphor for Hashem. Hashem now is going to shine, to reveal his light. So in that pasuk, we just mean it means Hashem appears.
Right.
It doesn't mean light.
And the one in Hofia Mehar Paran.
To appear.
Hofia Mehar Paran, right.
But that's not what he says here. The Mitzudas stuff, for whatever the reason, he puts the word light. Hoifia, look at the Mitzudas David, Hoifia, Heir. Now, then there's a Nusach Acher, which obviously is what it means to awaken. We'll get to that in a second, but look at our, because the Mitzudas Tzion's only says light. V'hoitzi, and he brings forth Esakoil Mitzion HaKolul, that is like Mimchol, the ultimate, B'chol HaYoifi. Now notice, according to the Mitzvah, he's adding words that do not appear in the Pasuk. And he's saying that this Pasuk Beis is going back on Pasuk Aleph, and Hashem has spoken. Pasuk Aleph, it says two words, Diber and Vayikra. Okay, those are two very different words. There are really three words that we use for speech. There's Amira, and there is Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemar Dibor, and there is Vayikra El Moshe. We find Hashem speaking to Moshe with three different terms. Vayikra, Amira, and Diber. And according to the Mitzudot David, when it says here, Mitzvah Michlal Yofi Elohim Hoifia, the Hoifia, the subject of Hoifia, is going back on the Dibor. So if it's going back on the Dibor and Vayikra, that means there is a revelation, there is a sound. There is a communication. The revelation is through sound, through words. One more time, the words. Heir, he brings forth light. The Hoitzia Sakoil.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's
something like Har Sinai. Roim Es Sakoilos. So you want to say that the word Hoifia, or Mechol, you're starting to suggest, is a unique word, a word which refers to the seeing of sound. Hashem appears. No, Hashem can appear, you know.
If we're speaking about the future and a new revelation, so to speak, it might take the same form as the original revelation.
Exactly. And that would make a lot of sense as to the mystery, as to why in Pasuk Aleph it says that Hashem is Diber Vayikra Oretz Mimizrach Shemesh, from the rising of the sun ad mivo'o. What are those words doing there? What's that doing there? Perhaps it is explaining is that the Dibur and the Kriya is of such of the type. The words Mimizrach Shemesh Amavoi is defining the Dibur and Vayikra. It doesn't just mean Hashem's message is spreading to the entire world. It means the words are visible, just like when the rays of the sun come forth as it rises to the end of the earth. It is a time of Chol Ha'am Royim Es HaKoilas, the ability to see the sound. Now that's a big problem in science, because we all have been taught over and over that the sound, the speed of light, is infinitely faster than, not infinitely, but much, much swifter than the speed of sound. And that's why everyone, when it thunders, thunder is just the sound of lightning. You see the lightning and then count one, two, and then you hear the thunder. The speed of sound is slow relative to the speed of light. Now, question is, when I Har Sinai, when Hashem spoke, V'chol Ha'om Royim Es HaKoilos, what does that mean? I mean, you go open up an encyclopedia and find only 100 perushim of what it means. Just general question, whatever it means, it means. But at the time of Har Sinai, was the Dibur that Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and let's assume a literal translation of the Pasuk, they actually saw the Dibur, was it, does that mean that the sound, the speed of light slowed down, or the speed of sound sped up so they can travel together? Or maybe no. Maybe first they saw the words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and then they heard it. V'chol am royim es HaKadosh. Does that also indicate they came together, which would have to mean in the world of science, either the sound sped up, or light.
Very close, a little different. Manipulated.
It's not so close.
We have subtitles.
What?
You have a movie, you can have subtitles.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Closed caption. Closed caption provided by Mark Plotnick. Closed caption of the Morning Kollel provided by Mark Plotnick. Stand clear of the closing doors.
Depends how close the lightning is to the thunder. If you have less than a second, You better duck real quick.
Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Vayered Hashem al Hashem was mamish present. So he's saying it's not nogeya. Leninatay le malachi asharis. Hashem was mamish right in front of us. Okay, I'm just showing you. Yeah.
Environment was a physical. Hey, laws of physics are suspended.
Exactly. Obviously, I mean.
Like the glucose and other things.
I mean, what does it mean to see? What does it mean to see the cholam roimes akolos? What does that mean? Is that to be taken literally, or is that more of a conceptual? Is that the clarity? Ein edoimes shmil le'ri'ia. The comprehension, the clarity of understanding. How do you understand those words? I don't know. But over here, it's interesting. B'chol hit the nail on the head over here. What it means over here, there is obviously Hashem is speaking. Diber vayikru oretz. Mizrach shemesh anuvol. The mitzvah stuff over here seems to be saying a chiddush. The word hoifia means to appear. Appear, l'chore, refers to sight. When you appear, when we translate the word appear, and in fact it says light over here, and this is light. But yet the context of this pasuk is sound. So obviously this is coming to touch upon the principle of the cholam royim es hakolos. This is the yom hadin hagadol, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is speaking, and he's coming to judge, and he's coming to make statements, and his statements of demanding mishpat din v'cheshbon, and everything that Hashem says, it's the chol ha'om. Royim es hakolos, and again we're clueless as to what this means. There's no such thing as you don't see sound unless Mark explains you have a closed caption, but that's I don't think that's what it means. Okay, so let's go back to the mitzvah of it. Pasuk gimel. V'al yecharash. Everybody say, please. V'al yecharash. Do not be silent. Al mash also ha'umos li Yisrael. Over here, Klal Yisrael over here is coming to say that Hashem, come. That's right. The time of Mishpat has arrived. Hashem, we invite you to come. Yavai Elokeinu. May you come. V'al Yecharash. Do not be silent. Do not be silent to the crimes of humanity. What the Ummah Yisraelim have done to us. It's interesting. What about what the Ummah Yisraelim have done to each other? Why don't we deal with that? You know, you hear Rwanda. And genocide all over the world for the time of history. There's been incredible crimes against humanity. How come we don't dwell upon that? Or maybe we do. Maybe over here, Mitzvah stuff, it says all about us. V'al yecharash al ma she'asu. What? Priorities. V'al ma she'asu ha'umos liYisrael. Why doesn't the Mitzvah say that it's the Yom Hadin, the end of days? Every single person is created B'Tzelem Elokim. Everyone has a Sheva Mitzvah Noyach. There's certain basic morals that are built into a person's the human condition, and there has to be din v'cheshbon of what crimes of humanity against each other. We suffer the brunt of it, obviously, no question about that, and there's no mechila, never ever, what they've done to us. But what about what they've done to each other? All over the world, there are terrible things happening where people taking advantage, v'chulu v'chulu. I don't know, this has to be discussed. This is the Yom HaDin. There has to be din v'cheshbon. Ma she'asu ha'umos liYisrael toichel, Lisraif es umos, burn them up, to consume them. He learns what tochel means to consume. Whenever it says with achila, generally it refers to fire. Nis'ara. Now what does that word mean? Maybe look. Let's look first at the mitzvah siyon. The word is, and we said miloshon sara, as we said in the beginning, with a samach. Interchange the sin with a samach, and it means a storm. And surrounding Hashem's mekoyim hashchina is a storm. Mitzudo istavid, Ritzel Lama Beruach Sara Yofitz Oisam, with a very powerful storm, he shall Yofitz Oisam shall shatter them. He's saying a chiddush. When I translate this passage, I told you the drush, Hashem is medaktek and svivav kichut hasar, we'll learn that soon. Then I said, but the pshut shel mikra is that in Hashem's mokoim, no one can go near Hashem. Hashem is infinite, like you know, we learned in the afternoon, Targum. Very much, there's the most fundamental difference between Rashi and Targum is how they refer to Hashem. The Targum, every time Hashem's name is mentioned, he will insert Kodom Hashem. Every time there's a discussion about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Targum goes way out of his way to add words. Don't think Hashem is your buddy. Hashem is not your buddy. He's not your friend. Hashem is beyond your comprehension. And when the Torah mentions Hashem, there has to be this separation this understanding that he is beyond comprehension, and he's not near you. Kodom Hashem. Probably the, we said the most horrifying Rashi in the whole.
What?
Kodom means, it means he's creating a barrier. Kodom means before. Kodom means before, but it's more of a barrier of separation of man before Hashem. You're not friends. Okay, I don't remember. I can't give you examples. We had so many different examples of where the Targum goes out of his way to separate Hashem from man. Rashi totally disagrees with this approach. Probably the most horrifying Rashi that the Targum would ever see, the Targum never saw Rashi, would be when it says in the Pasuk, V'hissalachti, well, that's really, they both say it. They both really present their Shita, where it says in Parashas B'chol Kosai, V'hissalachti b'soichachem. Im B'chol Kosai teilechu. I remember Rabbi Meir has the Pasuk. V'hissalachti b'soichachem. Rashi there says, Atayel imochem bigan Eden, v'loy nizdazeya mimeni. That I will walk with you together in Gan Eden. I'll come into Gan Eden, and you won't be afraid of me. Oh, Rivayin Shalom, Shalom Aleichem. How you doing? How have you been? This is a shocking. We cannot even begin to imagine what Rashi is saying. I will be a tile in Mochem Bigan Eden. Viloin is da zeya mimeni. I'll walk in like one of you. I'll walk around in Gan Eden. Like one of you. It's like the old joke. You come to Gan Eden, all this food, and you say, wow, who's the caterer? Who's the caterer here? Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't you know Moshe Rabbeinu? He went into the catering business. After Hashem told him you can't go into Eretz Yisrael. He needs part. He went into the catering business. And who gives the hechsher? The Ribbono Shel Olam. I'll take a salad. I'll take a salad. Okay, I will walk amongst you. V'loy nizdazeya. The Targum there, I don't remember, we learned this together in the afternoon. Targum there says something completely, completely different.
Isn't our main goal to be closer to Hashem?
Oh, so but how close is close? How close? Close. You can't fool yourself in thinking the Hashem is beyond infinite. Beyond, beyond, beyond. We are such a nothing. Connected Hashem. Everything we can connect to Hashem is because the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the B'chastai, is mitzamtzem. He limits himself purposely in such a way that we can relate to him. But we shouldn't get carried away. We shouldn't get carried away. And it's very, very, the balance is very dangerous. It's a very difficult balance. Rashi always puts us on the side of the balance of Hashem is our buddy. Hashem is here. Hashem is very forgiving. Hashem is understanding. And Hashem speaks directly to us. We can speak directly to him. The Targum has a different approach. The Targum creates a much greater distance. If you wouldn't know better, you would say that Rashi is from the Hasidic world, and the Targum is a real Litvak. The Targum is always Kodom Hashem, before Hashem. And there are so many different examples of where the Targum does that. So here you have this thing over here, Toicha u'svivav nis'aro me'oid. So I, in my ignorance, when I translated this pasuk to you, before I saw the Mitzudas, even though I prepared it, I have it all written, all marked up over here, I don't know what I'm preparing, but what I wrote over here, nis'aro me'oid, that I translate is that Hashem, you can't get near Hashem. In Hashem's presence, the closer you come to Hashem, there's a storm, there's a whirlwind, there's a tornado. As a way of demonstrating, you're not Hashem's buddy.
Separation.
There's a separation. You don't belong here. You don't belong here. You're just a human being. Hashem is beyond. The closer you come, the more violent, the more the situation is more impossible for man to approach. It's not reconcilable. Your existence with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a storm.
Maybe that's talking now, not lost love. Not that Hashem's going to be a buddy with us. And no, we're going to get closer to Hashem, that we will be more part of Hashem.
Okay, but this pasuk, how do you translate this pasuk discussing the Yom Hadin, according to as we learned yesterday? And it says here, Usvivav, Nis Aramo. The word Nisra means a storm. And in Hashem's vicinity, the closer you get, those that are close to Hashem, that area, that vicinity, whatever this means spiritually, there's a very great storm. When there's a storm, you don't go outside. You stay away. Well, this is the Yom Hadin.
Right.
Okay, right. This is more fun. Okay, right. In a Hanami. So, and the Mitzvah doesn't say that. That's how I translate it. We're presenting a reality that you can't come to Hashem. You can't come near Hashem. It's a different world. But that's not what the Mitzvah David says. The Mitzvah David says Nisara Ritzon Elomar. Okay, whenever you have those words, Ritzon Elomar means stop sign. Come to a complete stop and look always, look back and forth before you proceed, because I'm telling you something that's not literal. Beruach se'ara yofitz oisam. This is the whole issue of the storm is a weapon of mass destruction. Be'emes, Hashem is our buddy. He's our buddy. You can come in, you can sit in his office, you can sit and talk to him the whole day. He's your friend. Just behave yourself. As long as you behave yourself, Hashem is your best friend. And when it says here, Usvivav nis aram me'olifi demitsudas David, it's going back on when it says, V'al yecherash, Hashem, do not be silent to the crimes that the world has committed against the Jewish people, and obliterate them. And how do you obliterate them? Category 6 hurricane. If there is such a thing, obliterate them. Send upon them a storm, a tornado, a hurricane, tsunami, an earthquake, and then meteorites, and who knows? And you really have to, all you need to do today to torture a person is very, very easy. You just take away their phone. You take away their phone. They'll go out of their mind. You shut off the Wi-Fi. They'll lose their minds. It's all you need to do today to go and drive someone nuts. Hashem, destroy them. Destroy them with a storm. This is a tool, a weapon. This has nothing to do describing the presence of Hashem. Okay, that's what he says. That's how the Mitzvah Tzavah learns shot in the Pasuk. Hashem appear with V'chol Amrei Mesakoylois. May you, Hashem, come and may you not be silent to the crimes that the world has committed specifically to the Jewish people. And there's a fire before that will, the fire that will come forth before him will consume our enemies, and a very violent storm will destroy them as well. Next pasuk Yudalid. Now Hashem, okay. Now the mishpat is about to begin. Everyone, go to your stations. Hashem is now going to judge humanity. Yikra el Hashem. The first thing is, we're going to call the heaven, and we're going to call the earth for judgment. What does that mean? According to the Mitzvus Me'ol, Asher Heim Mimal, Ritzon Elomar, Sorei Maila, the Mitzvus Tavra became over here a Darshan. And it says, when it says the Shemaim, it means the Malache, it means the angels in Shemaim, or it means whatever, it means the judges. The Shemaim does not mean the heavens, it means the entities, either the neshamos or the malachim. Chazal said this is, this is Kabbalah. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just saying words. But who are the people that judge a person? This is what it says in the big books. I can't even tell you the name of one in the book, but this is what it says all the time. Who is the one that's going to judge us? Achamei ve'esrim, not malachim, but neshamos, people. People who lived on this world of our generation. We're not going to be judged by Dayanim who lived 100 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, because they don't understand us. They don't relate to our world. How can you go judge a person, the nisayon of dealing with technology, when you never had a phone your whole life? When you never saw these things? You have to be judged by people who can relate to you. What? You mean find the people? Find the people. You know, in America, we have the Elif Alfi Avdalas. They were definitely onto something. And a jury of your peers.
Yeah.
Okay? it's not really such a good idea. I mean, unfortunately, if society, and I'm not here to give a commentary on this, but it's a very interesting idea. A jury of your peers. Who is going to judge you for your crime?
But you can choose that, or a judge can
choose. Who are your peers?
It depends. Every state, and you know, court, and every law, it's gotta go to law school, learn all litigation. Okay, this is an interesting topic, but there is a principle in America of a jury of your peers. That's a very interesting concept. That was a novel idea, if I'm not mistaken, right? That didn't exist in England. No. So novel idea is where you don't go to some big judge, sitting judge from a different generation, who doesn't know what you're dealing with, doesn't understand the earnest,
or a different class.
You know. A different class of society. It was a very novel idea to be judged by people of your own kind. They understand where you're coming from. They have the same nisyonos, a jury of your peers. Unfortunately, today in the 2023, it basically means asara shekudim min ashok.
Right.
And the corruption.
The others try to avoid.
And the corruption of what kind of jury you get is just unreal. The ability to pervert this system is so easy. If you read what goes on, it's just unreal.
For that, we can thank the Lord.
And the judges are also corrupt in many situations. But in any event, it's a very interesting concept, and Chazal seem to give a rubber. They seem to acknowledge and agree to this concept. It's not necessarily a jury of your peers, but a collection of judges who are deserving to judge of your peers, and not a judge of a previous generation. So who are the? When it says here, according to them, it says Yikra El HaShamayim. It means to neshamas of people who once lived in this world and lived at the same era that you lived, and they were tzaddikim, they were oimid in all of their nisyonos, and they are deserving to be shoiftim. They will now be called to pass mishpat upon other people. That's what it seems to be saying, according to the mitzudos me'al. Asher heim mimal ritzoyne loymar sore milo shel umois. No, I made a mistake again, as always. I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you maybe it's a little bit coming a little bit later. Okay, I made a little bit mistake. But right now, the mezuzah of here says the sore mashem is coming to give mishpat to whom? Okay, what I told you, put aside for a moment. He's saying here the sore milo Hashem is going to issue mishpat to the sore mala shel umos ha'olam v'el aretz el umos yoshvei aretz lo din amo lasos bohem din amo lo kachas mehem nikmosam. So this is a principle we have also over many times, is that every nation on this world, every time you see a nation do something, we have to have a muna that in heaven that nation has a sar, and that sar is an advocate or is an influence. They're influencing events on this world. There's a war going on now between Russia and Ukraine, and a lot of people are dying, a lot of people are suffering, a lot of tragedies are happening. What the war is about, we have no idea, but we have to have emunah that in Shamayim, there is a sar over this nation, Russia, and there is a tsar over this entity called Ukraine, and they're killing each other, and terrible things are happening, and we have this emunah that it's not rooted only in this world. There is something happening in heaven. There's a tsar of Russia, Shomaila, and there's a tsar in Shemayim of Ukraine, and they're fighting in heaven. And how they fight in heaven, I don't know what this means, somehow has influence over what's happening on this world. Okay, these are things that even Rashi says in Chumash. In Chumash talks some of these things. What this means, no one knows what this means. Yeah.
Again, the model of Yetzias Mitzrayim comes into play, because it says there Hashem first attacks the
Tsar,
strikes down the Tsar of Mitzrayim, and then Mitzrayim, the people,
crumbles. Right, so there's a parallel in heaven. There's a Yerushalayim Shalmata and a Yerushalayim Shalmaila. Hashem will not build the Yerushalayim Shalmata will not be rebuilt until the Yerushalayim Shalmaila. Hashem first will enter into the Yerushalayim Shalmaila. There's a parallel world up there. And here Rashi, now when the Umay Soilam, when they bring upon us pain and suffering, it's not just the people living in this world that are guilty, it's their sar. They have a representative in Shemayim, and that representative in Shemayim is a troublemaker and has caused us harm. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to call them for Mishpat, this pasuk, according to the Mitzvah David, says there's going to be a trial. And who will be the defendants in this trial? The Shamayim, which means the Sorei Maila, the ministers of these nations in heaven, and the people on this world who have also free will, who are under their influence but still have free will, they will be called for judgment, Lodin Amo, to be held accountable for the crimes they've committed against Hashem's chosen nation. Novel. We learned over here a lot of chidushim here in this pasuk. So we'll start with the notes and mepharshim. According to the coin, this review, we discussed tzion is the michlal yoifi, and the michlal is it's the word koil with the double lamed, which means 100%. The ultimate, it's like meloich al kol ha'olam kuloi. Just like you have to use the word twice, kol kuloi. If you only use the word once, it means the majority. You have to use it twice in order to indicate that it's 100%. Here we have one word, michlal, which is the same thing by repeating the lamed. And we have the word ofia, which means light. But the Mitzudas understands it to mean to see the sound. That's what he's leaning. It's roimes hakoilos. Yovel lekev yal yechrash, to the crimes. Do not be silent to the crimes they have committed against us. And Hashem will now take a fire and will destroy them, and will take a storm. His tool, his weapon of mass destruction, will be a se'ora with a samach. And it's common to interchange the samach with a sin. And then we call Hashem is yikra, Hashem, he will call. Hashem will call to the sorei maila, who have committed crimes, together with the people on this earth who have committed crimes, to judge them for what they have done to Klal Yisrael. That is the Mitzudos in a nutshell. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi says mitzion shehu michlal yoifi. It's an adjective. Michlal yoifi is an adjective. The tzion is the ultimate, represents the ultimate beauty. Shame davar michlal. What is the word michlal? Shame davar. Rabbi Michal, can you help us with this word?
Yeah, he's saying that it's a noun and an adornment of beauty. Michlal is a noun.
When
paramo, or an adornment.
Adornment. When he says shame davar, Rashi, I've read this a few times, he doesn't mean a noun. He really means an adjective.
That's how he understands it.
It means an adjective. It's not a noun. Adornment. It means
adornment,
it's
adornment is a noun.
It's an adjective. It's a describing a noun.
No.
A noun is an object. An object or an object.
Adornment is an object.
Yes.
Could be both.
An adornment. Okay, I see what you're saying. You say tzion is michlal. It is an object. All right, I don't know. Got to think about this. Got to go study the English language better. To better terminology. Meets from tzion michlal yoifi. Michlal yoifi shem davar. An adornment. All right, let's go further. Shem davar, if you take it literally, means it is a noun. But it doesn't appear he means it that way, that it means it's describing tzion. Look at the first Rashi. Mi tzion shehu michlal yoifi. So, I mean, Rashi himself says the word michlal yoifi is a description of tzion. There's a location in this world called tzion. How would you describe it?
That may not be what Rashi is saying.
But
so
how do you reconcile these two Rashi's? First Rashi says mitzion shehu michlal yoifi. Shehu michlal yoifi. Michlal shem davar. Okay, we have to have an expert in Rashi to tell us. There's a lot of svarim to tell us the rules of Rashi.
From Zion, which is the adornment of beauty.
So in your English, in your if you did not see this Rashi, yeah, and you would just have those words in English, what would you call Michlal a noun or an adjective? Forget about what it says here in Rashi.
If I called it the ultimate in beauty, then yeah.
You call it what?
It would be a description.
Description.
Yes.
So is a description, am I making a mistake, is an adjective? It's not an object?
Beauty is an adjective.
No, actually, it's not. That's a noun.
We have to get an English teacher here. Someone expert in English language. All right, we're going to leave this for now. Keep this in mind. Shane Dovar sounds like a noun to me. But Rashi in the beginning says shehu, which means it's not a noun. It seems to be a contradiction. Unless the terminology of Rashi is not what we think it is. We're brainwashed. We have a certain way of thinking. We've been taught a certain way, and Rashi has a different set of rules. Let's go further. V'al geulas osin nisnabe. Oh, so Rashi over here right away says something different than we learned in this parish number 6. I think we touched upon yesterday 5 in Mefarshim. That's always the critical, most critical thing is to describe. The most critical thing is to explain what is the purpose of this Mizmar. Who composed Mizmar and in what context? So most of the Mefarshim said it means it is the Yom Hadin. Rashi is deviating from that and he says, Val Gu'ulas He'osid Nisnabe. Another Mizmar. We have many Mizmar. We know it's very satisfying when the Mefarshim said that we're describing the Yom Hadin, because that gives us something a little bit different. Because there are already so many mizmorim and things that we learned about Geula, and there are many different dimensions, different tekufas of Geula, and there's Gog u'Magog. Oh, something different. A breath of fresh air. Something different. It's a description of the Yom Hadin. And that's not what Rashi says. V'al Geulas he'osid nisnabe. Yavoy Elokim v'al yechash may Hashem come. May he arrive and may he not be silent oid any longer. Al dam avadav hashafuch, of the blood that has been spilled of his servant. So he adds another one very powerful word here, Rashi, od. V'al yecherash od any longer. The mitzudos did not say that. Don't be quiet. Hashem is coming. Now there's going to be a presentation. And now the question will be, will Hashem be silent? Rashi says, no. We've been complaining to Hashem not to be silent from time immemorial. And now we're saying no more. V'al yecherash od, no longer. That's a very big difference with the word od. Al dam avadav hashafuch pasik dal yikro el hashamayim. Lifkoit, to visit punishment. Pekida, v'hashem pokad es sorok kasher omor. Pokad means to Vayas, pokad is to, it depends on the context, really, that's the truth. And in this case, it means to remember them for punishment. Lifkoid al sorei humos shebamorim. Lifkoid really means it's another word for remembering. Lifkoid, to remember what they've done, al sorei humos shebamorim. Rashi says, sending us the mitzudas on Shemayim, v'el oretz, Lifkoid al malchei hoadama, the kings of this world, lo din amo linkom nikmas amo, to take revenge for the done to the nation, kamo ki yodin Hashem amo, dam avodav yikom Hashem, will exact vengeance for the blood that has been spilled by our enemies to his servants, the innocent blood that has been spilled. Okay, now let's take a look over here. Give me one second. What I wrote down. I really only wrote down one thing. And that's the Medrash. Okay, let's take a look at this Medrash. It's all I have marked off here. The Medrash, very important Medrash. There's a couple of Midrashim. Page 446. 446. Let's start with Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel. Usvivav nis aromoid. So we already said the Pshat that Hashem, according to the Mitzvot Rashi, is silent. Hashem will use the wind as a tool, the storm, to destroy, to shatter our enemies. The Chazal say, a drasha, the word nisara, it is spelled with a sin, not with a samach, meaning a seor, a hair's breath. Famous Chazal, Terabonon, Maisa bebida shal nechunya chayfer shichin, nechunya the one who dug pits, Boris Maim Avur Oile Regalim, Shenaflu Labor HaGadol Shlomayim. Okay, so this person would benefit Klal Yisrael by digging wells,
providing water
for the Oile Regalim. What happened? His own daughter fell into a well, and she disappeared, and they were afraid that she died. Uvahu, they came to Odiu, they told Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. They told Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, we have a tragedy over here. We have a missing child. A missing child fell into a well. So, after 1 hour, there was still no word, where is this little girl? So he said, don't worry, peace. Shnia amalachem shalom. Shlishis, third hour, which basically means at this point in time, she cannot live. A person can live for an hour, 2 hours, but 3 hours in such a situation can no longer live. Therefore, we have to assume the worst. So he said, you didn't hear about her? It has to be that she survived. He said, Amalohem also. Amaloh. And in Echanami, they discovered in Echanami, she survived. Amaloh biti. When they finally found her, they said, biti, my daughter, me, Hela, how did you get out of this situation? Amro loy, Zohar shel rechelim nizdaminli, v'zokin manhigoy. There was a zokain with sheep, and an elder man was guarding them. Amar loy, so they went back to Yochanan, and they went back to him. Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa.
A male sheep, and it was led by an elder.
A zokah shel rechelim, okay. Umizdam aliv a zokain, and it was male sheep that was led by a zokain. Amru lo, they went back to Yochanan ben Doisa, and they said, how did you know? Amru lo, naviata. How did you know? No one in the world knew. It cannot be that this person who gave benefit to the Klal Yisrael, it should be that his own children should suffer because of what he did. Rabbi Abba says this very scary Gemara. Afal pichein meis binoy bat sama. Nevertheless, his own son died through dehydration. Shenemar usvivav nis arameid melameid shekadosh baruch hu medatek im svivav kichut hasara. Okay, this is a very hard gemara to understand. I'm not going to even attempt. But there are two different dimensions here. There is the digging of the wells, and there is the actual water in the wells. He dug the wells. Did he put water in the wells? How did the water get there?
Rain.
Or maybe it was a natural spring. He dug all the way deep down. Maybe there was a natural spring. He hit water. But what did he do? He dug the wells. His daughter fell into one of these wells. His own labor cannot possibly be the cause of his daughter's death. But the water, which he did not provide, but enabled, there's no question about it, that if there's no well, if there is no well, there's no water. Right? There's no well, there's no water. But did he actually provide the water? No. He did the labor of creating a hechatimsa that there could be water. That he was not protected from. That his son died in thirst due to a lack of water. So, in other words, I mean, whatever, you could come to your own conclusion, obviously, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was medaktik v'siv g'chot ha'sara, as he was a very holy tzaddik, and as obviously no one is perfect, in tzaddik b'rish ha'yastav lo yechata, he could not be held accountable. It could not possibly be that the actual physical labor of what he did could result in a tzara to his own family. But yet, this Hashem is not, you can't hold Hashem hostage. If Hashem has a tzviya, the tzviya will come out in another dimension. I don't know what to say. There's also, I vaguely remember, there's a difference between a son and a daughter. The first thing where his daughter was spared, but the son was not spared. Why the son, not the daughter? The son is independent. The son has, a daughter is usually rides on the coattails of their father. A son is a mitzvah yoseh. A son has more of a duty to be to go forward, to be your own person. It starts off with the zaken leading the rachel. Who is the rachel? The zaken, that's Yitzchak. Yitzchak. Who is the father? The father is Avraham. We're referring obviously over here to the Akedah. We're referring here to the Akedah, the Mashal. There was a Zohar Shel Rechelim. Zohar Shel Rechelim is the Ayil. Vihine Ayil. There was an Ayil. And who was the Zokin? The Zokin was Avraham, and the Ayil is Yitzchak. And over here, okay, I don't know. We'll leave it. You want to go even further? Yeah. Okay, we'll leave with this. Okay, we'll leave with this. Everyone can appreciate this concept. It's Kadosh Baruch Hu is medaktik in mesivav those that are close to Hashem kichut asar. Next Chazal. Now this is another very famous Chazal. Shloi kminas bas avadam midas amakam bas avadam Moro al harochaykim yoser min hakroivim. Avamish Amar Vihayoilam Enokane, Elamoro Alakraim Yoser Al Harakim Shnemar Usov Nis Adamod. We all know that from far there are certain people you're brought up with that they're very, very holy, they're very special. And when there's a distance, you fool yourself in thinking they are perfect. And then as you get closer to them, closer and closer. It's like marriage. When your wife married you, she thought you were perfect. And after, I didn't know that you wake up late sometimes. I didn't know you do this, you do that. Okay, there's a certain image a person fools himself in thinking when you don't know. When you don't know, people have a tendency sometimes to be dan lekaf schus. And the closer you get to the person, the less respect. You realize, hey, they're just like one of us. They're just like one of us. And even with very wealthy people, they're very dignified, they're very chosh, they're very smart, they're brilliant. How else did it come to be that they've accumulated billions and billions of dollars? They must be geniuses. They must be righteous people. They must be very dignified. And then you go into their house, and you sit by their table, and you see how they talk, and you see how they behave, and you see that they're not so smart, and they don't understand everything. And then you realize, wait a minute, so how come he has $1 billion, and I can't scratch together a nickel? How does this happen? That's the way life is. That's the way life. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is just the opposite. People are always accusing Hashem. People are always... Hashem, you need a project manager. You know, people are always accusing, they're always suspecting Hashem of wrongdoing, and the closer they come to Hashem, the more in awe they are of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite kindness and his chokhmah. The closer you get to Hashem, the more you come to appreciate Hashem's greatness, the complete opposite of man. Man, from a distance, the mind plays with you and you make assumptions that a person is very great and there's a certain fear and respect and awe. And the closer you get, big deal, the less respect you have. By Hashem, it is just the opposite. From a distance, we don't understand. We don't understand why bad things happen to good people. We don't understand Hashem's ways. And the closer we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more awe, fear, and yira, and recognition of Hashem's chesed for us fills us up with a whole different perspective. And this idea is
The more careful you have to be, and the more dangerous it is.
Exactly. Yeah. The more precision, like a hear's breath. Hashem is, and the
Torah is replete with cases where unfortunate incidents occur. And it said,
those that are close to Hashem. That's a different idea. Those that are close. But that idea that you're presenting was the previous Chazal. The previous Chazal, Reb Chanina Mendoza. That was the previous Chazal. This is a completely different Chazal. This Chazal over here is saying is that is a different idea. Is that from a distance? And it's hard to really read it into the words. The previous Chazal, what you said, is that the closer you get to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem is medachtik. How could it be the Yochanan ben Doida? How could it be this person, a child, he dug pits, and one of his children died from lack of water? Because he was very close to Hashem, so Hashem was medachtik with him, kechut ha-sa'ara.
Exactly.
This is a different Chazal. This Chazal is saying something completely different. It's saying over here that from a distance, it's not talking about punishment. It's not talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu holding you accountable for your averos. It's talking about something completely different. It's talking about our respect, reverence to Hashem.
Well, where is this? Where
this is the next Chazal.
Which Chazal is it?
This is Shaloi Kimidas. It's from where it gets wide. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 lines down after it gets wide. Shaloi Kimidas Bosa V'dam Midas Hamokan. Boss of Adam, when it comes to human beings, Moro'o al-Horu Choykim. When you don't know who the person is, you hear about people, all different types of people, whether they're very, very smart, whether they're very wealthy, very successful people in the position of power. So from a distance, you imagine they're distinguished people. They're chosh of a people, they're good people. And then when you get to know them, and you open up the files on them, and you see the crimes they've committed, and you see the averos they've done, you lose all respect. From a distance, mor al horu choykim, yoser min hakroivim, aval mi sh'omar v'hoyo, with regard to Kodesh Baruch Hu, ena kein ela moro'o al hakroivim, those who fear Hashem are on the inside circle. People that are not close to Hashem don't have the moira of Hashem. Now here is the difficult part. This is very difficult, as it says, Shenemar usvivav, surrounding Hashem nisaramot. I don't believe that according to this Chazal we're making a drasha a hearer's breath. This drasha is focusing on the sin as if it was a samach, as if it was a storm. The closer you get to Hashem, the more shaken up you are, the more stormy it gets. From a distance, what's the big deal? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I'll have a conversation with him, I'll tell him what to do, I'll push him around. Then when you get closer, it's very dangerous. It's a very dangerous place because you're afraid for your life. There's a storm. There's a violence. There's a storm. What is the metaphor? The closer you get, the more awe and reverence, pachad, you have for Hashem. The second drasha does not appear to be darshening usvivav nisarom od, as if on the hearer's breath. The previous chazal, where Hashem is medaktik, im tzadikim kurasara, that's the sin.
Different ways to understand.
This is going more dal derech the pshat, like what it said in the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says that when it says usvivav nis aramaod, Hashem should use his wind as a weapon. Now, by the way, we didn't ever really even translate. What does it mean the word usvivav? Let's just go back to the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David said the word svivav. He didn't really explain the Mitzudos David what the word usvivav means. According to the Mitzudos David, it says there's a fire before him. Usvivav, I mean, I think what he's saying is that in Hashem's vicinity, there is a storm. It's in his suitcase, and when he wants to use it, he'll take it out of the suitcase and launch it as a weapon to eliminate our enemies. Usvivav, amongst Hashem's close soldiers, as Pamal Yishol Maila, he has weapons. And one of the weapons is this thing called a storm. It's a tool he will use against our enemies. The Chazal don't look at it like that. Chazal appear in this medrash to interpret the word Nisara as a storm. And what it means in this context is Hashem, that the closer you get to Hashem, the more, the Usvivav means closeness. The closer you get, the greater the storm. It's a metaphor. The more reverence and awe you have for Hashem, you're afraid. When there's a storm, it's dangerous. You don't move, you make a wrong move in a dangerous environment, you're going to die. The closer you get to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the more pachad you are of your survival, realizing you're in the presence of greatness. That is the nature. And therefore, this is what Yerushalayim is. You see, the people, like you say, on the Yimei HaDin, they always say this mashal. On the Yimei HaDin, who should be worried? Who should be worried when it comes to Chodesh Elul? Who should be worried? The people who didn't do any mitzvahs, or the people who the whole year are Isaac in Torah mitzvahs chesed? So you'd say the people the whole year, they learn Torah, they never miss a minyan, they daven with kavanah, they do chesed, they do gemilas chasadim, they visit the sick. Mark is a tremendous bikur cholim. I never saw someone Isaac in bikur cholim like you, Mark. Unbelievable. Tremendous musa haskel to be Isaac in the midst of bikur cholim. He goes to every person, every chol he knows, he goes to visit Mark. It's unbelievable. He goes every day, makes calls, visits people. Anyone they go to, Mark called me, Mark called me. Unbelievable, Mark. So people like that, they have to worry? They're worried about Yimei HaDin? What are they worried about? People who do nothing the whole year, they don't lift a finger, they don't daven, they don't learn, they just waste their whole time. They're the ones that should be afraid when it comes to Chodesh Elul. And yet, look at what do you see in this world? Pum fakert! The people that don't do any mitzvahs, don't do anything at all, it comes Chodesh Elul, where are they? Vacationing. Big deal. The people the whole year that are Isaac and Torah, mitzvahs, and chesed, when it comes Elul, there's a pachad. Pachad from the Yom HaDin. It doesn't make any sense. It should be just the opposite. It should be mamish the opposite. And what is the answer? This is the answer. The answer is because the people that do chesed the whole year, they are the insiders. And the insiders, they can sense the nis'ara me'oid. They can sense that storm. They sense. Or maybe you know what I'm thinking now. Maybe what it means is, the word nis'ara is going on the people. Maybe that's what it means. It means that the people that are close to Hashem, they are tormented. Their neshamos are in a violent state of a storm because they're so close to Hashem, they see the greatness of Hashem and it shakes them up. They're shaken to the core. People that are distanced from Hashem, they're not afraid. They don't see what's coming. They're not afraid. But the people that enter into Hashem's Dalit Amos, they become frightened and shaken to the core because they have the Yirah Shemayim and they understand Hashem's greatness. The complete and total opposite of what goes on in this world. In this world, when you hear about a mogul, oh, your jaw drops. And then when you sit down and have dinner with him, you walk out and you say, what? Him? He's the one that Hashem gave all this money to? He's the one that has so much power? He controls the world? Him? This is the guy? I have no respect for him. He's a Baltaiva, this is a Nivel Peh. Shugna, you ever go to the Nivel Peh that goes on by these people? Some of these people? It's unbelievable. They have a hot mic. Some of these people that you think are very dignified people, and every once in a while, remember Prince Charles? This was the first time they had a hot mic. They once had a hot mic with him a couple of years ago. He was sitting there with one of his children. It was a hot mic. What they were saying on the hot mic was unbelievable. And now they caught him by the signing with his consort. His Pilegesh. The way they behaved was worse than what goes on in kindergarten. Okay, not that long ago. So from the outside, Prince Charles, his mamash the melech, he's very eloquent, very, you know, he gave a hesped for Lord Sachs, like I've never heard. That was a phenomenal hesped he gave. You saw that clip? It was a long clip. He gave a hesped for Rabbi Jonathan Sachs. Whew, unbelievable. So, you know, yeah, obviously.
It sounds good also because he's English.
It's more that he said the substance was good, and the way he said it was good also, right? But like I said, at the Aguda convention last year, they had a guest speaker from London, and the first thing he said was, I have an advantage. I come from London, I heard that in America, even if you read the telephone book, that's what he said publicly, even reading the telephone book with a British accent.
Right, why Rubenstein?
No, not why. No. Someone else. They had a young guy, a young guy in Mitzvah Shabbos. That's how he started off his speech. I don't know what he was. A young guy was like, he looked like he was.
They tell the story of a person who had two sons. One son was a very good boy, and the other one was later gay or something like that. So the father, the later gay, he sort of left alone, and the son that was very close and everything gave him mussar, gave him a smack. So the son says, Tati, what's going on here? You know, look, I'm so much better. Because he was closer.
Higher expectations.
So I want to connect these two memoria. In other words, when a person is closer, he has more moira, more is expected of him. And therefore, he's a saviva of this hour alone.
Very good. We want to connect the two together. When you're close to Hashem,
more is expected. And if not, you have to pay the
price. Very good. It's very true. Absolutely. Okay, now it's very late. I mean, how late it is.
A third thing I wanted to mention: it seems the punch of shot in the Pasuk is not like either one of those Bamori Chazal. Because the enemy will be punished.
The Mitzudas David says
Usaviva. With the two Bamori Chazal.
Right. That's very common. That's always the case. That take it out of context. That's very common. That's very common when the Mamori Chazal takes it out of context. Absolutely. That's very loud. I will tell you this. I want to finish this. This message is critical because I want to go tomorrow further. Very critical. This message run very, very quickly. Pasuk Dalet. It's also very well known, very famous. Over here it says Hashem's going to call the heaven and going to call the earth. Each one, like the mashal is the blind man and the lame person in an orchard. Outside of them, there's an orchard with beautiful peros, and who's sitting there? A blind man and a person that does not have legs, and whose legs do not function, paraplegic. So and the owner comes and says, "Who stole the fruit?" So the blind man says, "What do you want from me? I can't see anything." And the paraplegic says, "What do you want from me? I can't even walk. What do you want from me?" So he says, "Okay, let me put you on the shoulders of the blind man, and now let me ask you, who stole the fruit?" Okay, this is Chazal's mashal. Same thing. Lasa Lav Hashem is going to say to the neshama, you're going to Gehenim. What do you want from me? What did I do? From the moment that you took me out of the body, nothing bad happened. So what do you want? So it's the body's fault. Don't blame me. The body says, what do you want from me? From the moment that the neshama left me, I'm just lying in the grave. What do you want from me? Each one is going to say, Hashem, don't punish me. Punish the other guy. So I said, okay, you know what? Let's do Tchiyas HaMeisim. Let me put the neshama back in the body, and then we'll judge you. Same exact mashal. So this is frightening mashal, which indicates that the tafkid of Tchiyas HaMeisim is for mishpat, not to enjoy this world. We're brainwashed. Know why there's Tchiyas HaMeisim? Oh, Tchiyas HaMeisim, so you can be reunited with your loved ones and you can enjoy this world all over again without illness, without any limitation. Come back, you'll do it right. No. You know what is Tchiyas HaMeisim? Mishpat, because Hashem cannot judge the neshama alone. Hashem cannot judge the body alone. That's the purpose of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Not for your benefit, not for the benefit of enjoying the world and serving Hashem now that we've got it right. Mishpat, a whole new twist on the purpose of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Let's see the way quickly we have. Yogi, read very quickly. Hashem is going to call to the heaven and call to the earth. The heaven is a metaphor for the neshama, and Hashem, the earth, is a metaphor for the guf. Hashem is going to reunite the guf and the neshama, Tchiyas HaMeisim. Why? Lodin Amo. To judge the people of his nation. Amar Le Antoninois Le Rebbe.
Guf.
With Pasuk Dalet on page 446 in the Medrash. It's about a couple lines down. Pasuk Dalet. The guf and the neshama, each one independently, can exempt themselves from din. Ketzad, guf, the guf will say, neshama chatos. Don't go, don't, it's not my fault, it's the Neshama's fault. Shemiyoim, Sheperisha, Mimenech, many. Hadin Mimutal Ke'evan. I'm like a stone, doom, a silent stone, Bekever. O Neshama, Oimer, similar. Guf Chota, don't blame me, blame the body. Shemiyoim, Sheperashti, Mimenu, from the day that I separated. Hadin Parachas Ba'avir, Kitsipor. I'm flying around in heaven like a bird. Amalei, so Hashem said, okay, you know what? Em Shulcha Moshul, no, Rebbe said, this time to Ninus. Em Shulcha Moshul, Lemo Hadavadome, Lemelech Bosavadam, Shayloi Pardes, no, a beautiful orchard, Vahayloi Bahayubo Bakurois, Teinim, fresh, freshly ripened, ripely figs. No, it means beautiful. Vehoi Shiv Boy Shnei Shoim Rin, you point to guardians to guard the figs. Echad Chiger, one was lame. The Echad Suma, one was blind. Amaloi Chiger Lissuma, the Chiger said to the Suma, Bakurois no ois aniroi bepardes. The lame person said, I see beautiful, freshly ripened figs in the orchard. Bo, come, vihir kiveini. Go, come and put me on your shoulders. Univiem, and I'll guide you. I'll tell you right, left, like GPS. I'll tell you where we'll go. We'll eat them together. Rochav chiger al gabe suma vehevium vacholum. They did that trick. Liyamim, days later, Bob Alapardis, Amalekam Bakurosh, Nos Hechen Hin, where are my fruits? Amalekhi, what do you want from me? Klum Yeshua, Glaim Lahalek Bahem, Amalekhsuma, Klum Yeshua, Naim Lerois, Meosa, Hirkiv Chigal Gabisuma, Vedon Oisam Ki Echad, Af, this is now comes the Nimshol, Af Hakodosh Baruchu, Mevi Neshama, Vizorko Baguf, Hashem takes the Neshama and throws it back into the body. Vidon oisam ke'echad shenemar. This is the pasuk. The shamayim is the neshama. The aretz is the guf. Yikra el shamayim me'ol v'el aretz lo din amo. Yikra el shamayim me'ol zu neshama v'el aretz lo din amo zu aguf. Okay, that.
When a person dies, there's no judgment until tefias amesim.
No, not, no, definitely there is judgment. There definitely is judgment. Listen, we don't know what it means. We don't know what this means. I told you, no one came back to tell us. Like we say, there's no question. We have a Muna, there's judgment every day. The Gemara says every day, every day. When a person goes out and goes to sleep, he's judged. There's judgment every Rosh Chodesh. That's why there is a Yom Kippur Katan.
There's judgment when the person dies. And another judgment at the end of days.
So he said,
all this tagodos of
a but first is a judgment every single day. Every single day. Then there's judgment every Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is, that's why it's Yom Kippur Katan. And then there's a judgment on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Then there's a judgment on the person dies. And then there's a judgment on every yard site. Every yard site there's a judgment. And then there's a judgment at the end of days. And the Yoim Hadin HaGadol,
and that's where the Neshama and the Guf get put together again.
That's where it's something like that. Correct. Okay, we'll take a very short break. I want to learn about Shabbos. This week we are introduced once again to the mitzvah of Shabbos in Parashas Shemos. Parashas Shemos, I want to discuss some new material about Shabbos.
Don't take it. No, just one thing to say.
It's a medrash that we learned first. So come on. Everything you said, 100%. And he ends off, but then read it also. They've got a female medrash. Here, they want to say the Sneva is the closest to God. But the whole story is here. It's nice when you look at it in the Gemara, you know, like it jumps out, it makes it.
Mark wants a text.
No, but he had it. They had a text.
Then you might like to move the Gemara. Repeat. You let me know. So don't, like now, we almost everything you win. I understand. Yeah. I know. That's what I mean.